This is Lindsay Miller. You're listening to the Arkansas Times Week in Review podcast for Friday, February the 26th. On this week's edition, we're going to talk about Governor Hutchinson's announcement that he is easing COVID-19 restrictions. We'll also talk about the legislature and state K-12 testing and major looming decisions. I'm joined as usual by Max Brent.
Afternoon. Is your connection okay? I'm hearing a little bit of in and out, but
yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay.
Okay, we'll give it a whirl. So we're recording on Friday, and this morning Governor Hutchinson announced that he'd be extending the mask mandate through March 31st, but all indications are that it will expire after that. And that he is lifting other directives, which have the force of law, and shifting them to merely guidelines.
Yeah, well, his emergency declaration was going to expire Saturday, so he extended it. He extended the state of emergency for another month through March 31st. And significantly, he said he's keeping some directives in place, particularly the one that protects businesses from being sued for causing their customers or employees to get sick from COVID. And also, for example, that would include, I presume, the delivery of alcohol, also telemedicine procedures that were authorized. But the big news, and I think this was a direct result of legislative pressure, was, as he says, we're making enough progress that we no longer need to have these mandatory rules on capacity and social distancing and other things in restaurants. He said he hopes all of them will continue to follow these things because they're good. And of course, customers want to go places that are safe. And so he's sure everybody will do this. And he says compliance with these rules is at an all-time high. I mean, my response to this is bullshit. You know, I mean, I think some people in some places are responding and some are not. And he lifted this ban tonight. And I'm telling you, they're going to be jamming the bars in the River Market tonight. And there's this big open question. He says, well, the mask mandate is still in place, but is that a guideline or is it not? I mean, I don't know.
I thought when he was asked about that he said, no, the mask mandate is still in effect.
Yeah, but I mean, how are they going to enforce it? I mean, if a restaurant doesn't do it, he's saying these are guidelines for restaurants. What does that mean? I mean, he's not enforcing the mask mandate now anywhere. There's no law enforcement agency in the state enforcing the mask mandate. I just think it's hopeless and it's not going to be followed. And, you know, I think he's just betting that the rates are going to continue to go down, and then between that and vaccination, we're going to be okay. And I don't think we're there yet.
But well, right around the time that he was making the announcement, Rochelle Walensky, the new director of the Centers for Disease Control, said there's evidence now that our national downward decline is ending. There's great concern about new variants. And she said pointedly, now is not the time to lift restrictions for states to do that.
No, and even Jose Romero at the news conference this morning said these new variants transmit more easily, and now is not the time to. That's the problem, is this twofold thing in which Romero says, keep wearing your mask, keep social distancing, and the governor's saying, hey, things are going so good, We're gonna let this go if we meet these guidelines. Well, you know, and the other thing is the recent downturn follows a huge deep freeze where everybody was staying home and they weren't going out, and also the small number of cases comes as our testing has dropped to, I mean, hugely low levels, 3,000 or 4,000 tests a day. We're not testing anybody. I mean, I mean, I think it's a bad decision. I'm not the governor. I've had my two shots. I'm going to keep wearing a mask. I'm going to continue to avoid mass gatherings. And that's what I'm going to do. I mean, I don't know. I don't hope for bad things to happen, but I don't feel very good about it. But I do think this was clearly a result of the pressure that's been built by the legislature, in which they're just still hollering about, and it's really the restaurant and bar business. And I guess the hospitality industry employs a lot of people, and they're sort of a marginal business that doesn't have an easy time in the best of circumstances. And they're screaming about it. And I just think finally they decided to do something about it. So we'll see. And, but the bigger news really, I think, was that they're letting up on the schools. That they said at that news conference this morning, they're going to give more autonomy to the schools to decide what they do. And I mean, I think this will be a resumption of graduations and spring sports and booster club meetings and all of that stuff. And, you know, schools have not been as bad a hotbed as was feared, but some schools are better than others. And I just don't think it's the time to let up, but I'm not calling the shots.
Yeah, well, I think the major takeaway from today was it muddied the waters more than cleared them up. At one point, the governor was asked about a skirmish in the Senate yesterday over a bill filed by his sometimes nemesis Dan Sullivan that would not force businesses that have been fined for COVID violations to pay them, or would give back the money, or I don't know exactly what, but would provide some relief. And it got a lot of attention because of some harsh questioning by Stephanie Flowers, Senator Stephanie Flowers, and then a rebuke by Tim Griffin. And she was later, her remote feed was cut off. But Hutchison was asked if he supported that legislation, and he said no. You know, it's important that these businesses pay for funds, but at the same time, he's rolling out this new.
It's crazy. What are laws for if they're not going to be enforced? If a legislator doesn't like that it's being enforced, why not pass some bills to forgive anybody who shoots a black person just because? What's wrong with that? That's hyperbole, of course, but the principle's the same. And so now with no controls any longer on restaurants and bars, he's expecting them to do right. It's crazy. And he said he wouldn't sign the bill, but he didn't say he would veto it, which of course he means if it does pass the House that he knows it's pointless because majority vote can override a veto. But I mean, the governor's power is oozing away by the day, and he's approaching lame duckism, I think, with 2 years left to go.
The other big news on the COVID front was an announcement that those 65 and older, or 65 to 69, would be allowed to get the vaccine. That pushes folks in the 1B category into some indeterminate time.
Yeah, there's still no guidance for the supposed essential workers who are included in the 1B category. And never mind the vast number of everybody else out there that is still. And that's the other thing about, and several people have remarked on this on social media today, is the governor saying in a month, all rules are off. Everything's fine. But we're 2 or 3 months away from hundreds of thousands of people being eligible to get a vaccine. And so what's going to happen for them? I mean, where's their protection? I just don't think it was particularly well thought out to me, but I mean, I'm sure they thought about it at great length. I really kind of like to know what was really going through their head about this beyond the political pressure.
Yeah.
But.
Okay. Well, let's move on.
Well, you wrote, are you going to get into Little Rock schools and testing? Because it's really tied into this.
Yeah, I was hoping to talk about that as our third topic.
Okay.
Let's talk about the legislature. It's time for them to go home, from my perspective.
It's an utter waste of time. It's nothing but junk agenda legislation. People scoring points on hot button bullshit agenda issues, be it abortion, oppressing transgender people or guns or religion or whatever. And it's, you know, so much time is spent on such garbage. And I mean, I know it's popular with the base. I mean, a pretty good example was passing the bill out of the Senate easily to allow healthcare providers, including I presume hospital janitors and hospitals and insurance companies to refuse to provide services if it was they had a moral objection to it. This, of course, is particularly aimed at people who don't want to be part of contraception or abortion or helping transgender people. But it could also include vaccinations and who knows what. I mean, it was just a Pandora's box. And interestingly enough, the bill was defeated after 2.5 hours, I think, of testimony in a House committee with overwhelmed some very large Republican opposition. But because the Chamber of Commerce got involved, Walmart and Tyson said, we're against this legislation because it's bad. It raises liability issues for us. It's just bad a million different ways. And so they beat this bill, but we wasted all this time on it. And it was nothing but a right-wing religious agenda bill. It would have done bad things for all kinds of people. And yet we just waste our time on it. And there's more abortion legislation has been introduced. Rather than making voting easier in Arkansas, they're going to make it harder to vote. They've already passed one bill, and there'll be more to come. And we ought to be cleaning up voting procedures, and we're just making it harder. And, you know, they cut a big tax break to people on the COVID payment benefits. But, and, you know, I mean, I kind of get it, but those COVID loans were like free money, you know? I mean, you know, they're forgivable loans. They're like, I mean, and it's a huge chunk out of the state. And there's going to be more of that to come. And there's just, you look at the span of what they've done and you just can't find much that they've done that's really had the public interest at heart. I mean, I guess maybe they created a breast milk bank or something, but you know, I mean, it's just all this garbage. And they just, I mean, for example, they finally introduced today, this year's version of, a renter's protection bill to end criminal evictions in Arkansas, to stat we're the last state in the country that doesn't have a habitability rule that means a renter should have a place that's safe to live in. This bill says some really strong stuff like a house must be weatherproof and the doors and windows must operate. Imagine how draconian that is on Arkansas landlords. And I suspect the real estate lobby will beat it again because that's just what they do. I mean, it's just become dark and saw to me, and it's a continuing source of great depression for me, how bad things are there.
Well, I guess the big news this week was the revival and pretty quick passage of Stand Your Ground, which was defeated by an unlikely coalition of local gun owners who didn't think the bill was extreme enough, and gun safety folks, Moms Demand Action and the sort.
Right. They almost beat it by the fact that the gun lobby wanted to be even crazier. I mean, basically let you be someplace illegally and have a place where you shouldn't have a gun and use it and kill people and you'd be all right. And that would have beat the bill. They couldn't pass the bill with that amendment out of the House committee, but the gun nuts finally said, well, okay, well, I mean, Stand Your Ground on its own is terrible. It's awful. It's unbelievably bad. It will increase the homicide rate, and it will be applied in a racially discriminatory factor. And it's been proven in other states that it's a terrible thing. But that's going to pass anyway. The governor hasn't yet said whether he'll sign it. But as I say, at this point, it doesn't really matter if he does or he doesn't. They'll override his veto. So,
and then the Senate passed a total abortion ban, no exception for rape victims or victims of incest.
Yeah, and I guess there is perhaps you get the feeling that this is another bill that the governor would just as soon not reach his desk, although he's stridently anti-abortion, but. But this is a bill that, first of all, is going to be instantly enjoined by the federal court because under current court precedent, it's unconstitutional. And there are X number of people. One of them was a governor's nephew who spoke against the bill in the Senate, although he ended up voting for it, I think. Or did he just vote present? I can't remember. But he spoke against the lack of a rape and incest exception, which all Arkansas legislation has had in the past. And even Missy Irvin, a Republican anti-abortion legislator, said that it ought to have a rape and incest exception. So I guess there's a slim chance that could be a poison pill for this bill in the House. But I think it's just become such an article of faith in Republican politics that you must vote for anti-abortion bills, no matter how awful they are, that it'll probably pass the House too. And they control the Public Health Committee, and there's not a significant number of Democrats there to do anything about it. So I guess we'll see that. And we're down the list in terms of endorsing this. Other states will get to the Supreme Court before we do. It's still sort of an open question, even if some people like Brett Kavanaugh and Amy Barrett will go for a total reversal of Roe v. Wade and allow outright bans of abortion. I mean, there's some conservative legal minds who think they won't, that they're not ready to go that far just yet. And the sad truth was said by the opponents in the debate. Clark Tucker was one of them. So they cannot outlaw abortion. Abortion is going to happen. It's going to either happen by subterfuge and medical ways. It will happen in dangerous ways by illegal abortions, or it will happen for people who have better economic circumstances who will go to states where it remains legal. And we ought to be focusing on the things like family planning availability and lifting people out of poverty that helps prevent unwanted pregnancies. But we'd rather punish people in Arkansas and invoke our religious beliefs and law. And in the name of religious freedom and protection, they do these things. And of course, it limits the religious freedom of people who feel differently, whose religions don't ban abortion, whose religions don't take a dim view of different sexual orientations, or understand there are medical reasons for gender dysphoria that causes people to adopt through surgical means sometimes, or to be a gender different than what's on their birth certificate. But in Arkansas, those arguments just don't seem to carry much weight.
The Biden administration this week announced that it would not provide blanket waivers to state assessments, as many states across the country had pushed for. Instead, it promised to offer great flexibility, including when the test is given and where it's given. And it said that it would allow for the test to be given remotely. Last night, the Little Rock School District Board met and approved a resolution urging the state to allow remote testing, but the state confirmed today that it's not gonna. So,
typical.
The state, and I don't know exactly how this is codified, if it is, but the state wants districts to push families to have their kids take tests. There has been a 95% requirement for schools. The Biden administration said it wouldn't enforce that. So there's not really any punitive side of it, but from the state down to the districts, principals and teachers will be telling families, you have to take this test. You have to come to school and take the test.
And without any authorization to say that, I want to say, except that I guess they're just saying it. I mean, there isn't an enforcement mechanism. And the state admits there's no enforcement mechanism.
Right. But it's very Kafkaesque. I mean, you're required to take this thing, but actually, no, you're not required, but we can't tell you you're not required.
But we can lie to you and tell you you are required. I mean, it's a lie. It is a lie to say you are required to, because there isn't a requirement that you do it. I mean, if a requirement means there's consequences if you don't, and there's not. I was talking this morning to a former member of the State Board of Education who said that the legal guidance throughout her 10 years on the board was, is that the state may want to do things, but what the feds say control when it comes to matters involving federal money, which basically everything does since they provide so much money to the state. Well, and in fact, the state's argument for why they must give the test is because the federal government mandates it and they'll lose federal support if they don't give the test. But the feds who are saying you may give the test remotely, the Arkansas is saying, oh, fuck you. Oh, excuse me. We're not going to pay any attention to that. We don't have to follow the feds' guidance on remote testing, but we'll follow it on them demanding that we give the test. And I was stunned at that figure that almost half the students in Little Rock are going to school remotely. I mean, that's a big number. Well, but I don't see
Little Rock.
I happen to think testing is worthless anyway. I think testing is a measure of family circumstance. It's the education experts I respect say that it's not a good measure of anything that the teachers don't already know from being there. And so I don't think there's any imperative for a parent who feels concerned about safety to send a kid to school to take the test. I just don't.
Well, when the state talks about this, they talk about the statewide numbers of in-school versus virtual. And statewide, it's heavily in-school. It's, 80% or more. Little Rock is disproportionately divided between virtual and in-person. And undoubtedly, a lot of that has to do with infection rates here. I mean, Little Rock and Pulaski County has led the way in terms of case numbers. So,
well, actually though, I think what you'd find is our percentage by population is lower than a lot of these rural counties where they don't wear masks and everybody goes to school. And I think it's because they do go to school and they don't wear masks. We have a high number of cases here, but that's because our population's big. But here's the other problem about the state saying, oh, everybody's going to school, so we should take a test and measure everything. The problem with that is I don't know that there's a school district in Arkansas that has been unaffected by the pandemic. That is, they're going to school, but they're periodically having to go virtual for this reason or that reason for X period of time. A lot of kids have not gone to school. They've gone homeschooling instead for this year, particularly in the early in pre-K. This measuring this school year is just going to be meaningless, even in those places where most of the kids have been going to school because they've had interruptions in the school process during the course of the year.
Yeah, well, the state says that it's measuring learning loss, and that will help it identify areas where it needs to help students catch up. But again, that goes back to whether the test is a useful tool in any context.
I think if things really got better, what they ought to do is put a bunch of money aside and have a month of summer school this summer for everybody. But that's me.
And talk briefly about the Little Rock School District. It had a marathon board meeting last night. And among the topics discussed were enrollment woes, especially at Hall High School, which was reconstituted ahead of this school year, which means that all of the staff was fired and forced to reapply. And also it lost its attendance zone. So that's meant that it didn't have a ninth grade class this year. And it has, as of last week at least, it had about 270 kids enrolled for next year. And it can hold, 1,500.
It's a disaster.
So that is a big problem in terms of staffing. As we've talked about frequently, you can't just scale up or scale down a school system. You've got all sorts of capital expenses and human resources expenses. So it has to do something. So the district has proposed that it essentially become a K-12, aligning with Forest Heights STEM Academy, which is nearby, and which also was reconstituted and sort of reimagined a number of years ago and has successfully gotten kids back into the district. That's likely to be voted on at the March meeting. And I would say, judging from the board, there seemed to be, you know, interest in that. That I imagine that will go forward. Other big thing is that the district could use money, and it would like to again go to voters for an extension of the millage, which would mean folks wouldn't pay more, they just pay it for longer. And I suspect that the district will push the board to go ahead and authorize a tax extension as soon as next month, so it can get on the ballot in as early as June. I think we discussed several weeks ago, the city of Little Rock is going to have a tax proposal before too long. The library would like to do it. So in some ways, there's kind of a race to see who can get on the ballot first.
Right. Well, and I think a special election is is good for the school district. It's, you know, the legislature's tried to make it almost impossible to have special elections, because then it'll be just people who are school interest who vote for it. You know, I oppose the last two because of state control, and I know the district needs the money, but state control remains an issue, and they're still in control of the district. We've got a school board now, but how serious they are about letting Little Rock go is going to have a lot to do. This thing on the testing, it's a pretty good example of what a short leash they have us on. And you know, you talk about the high school situation. At this point, I don't think it's fixable. But this is a direct result of the state forcing Little Rock to open that West Little Rock High School. We have one more high school than we need. I mean, is what's happened now. I'm afraid in the end, the result's going to have to be closing Hall High School and let that guy from out in West Little Rock have his West Little Rock High School, because we just have too many high schools. I mean, as they pointed out, if they make Hall a science magnet, what's it going to do to Parkview, which has been a reasonably successful high school with its program? I'm complaining about something that now is unfixable, but I think that's one of the big parts of the problem. And if the State Board of Education is going to continue to put its heavy hand on how Little Rock is operated, and particularly by continuing to expand charter schools, and they're going to expand the voucher program in the legislature this year and continue to drag kids out of the district, I just think the future for the district is so dire, and we have so little control over our destiny. I think it's going to be hard to build popular support for a tax increase, which, I mean, even though it's not an increase, it is an increase because it adds 15 years of taxes to your bill. And there's a huge amount of operational money built into this construction millage by the funny way school financing works.
Yeah. Well, I think you're definitely right about charter schools peeling kids away. I'm not sure West High School is for one thing, only has room for about 400 kids, where, you know, Hall and Parkview and Central have space for, you know, thousands.
But they're only X number of kids. I mean,
that's true. I think that
why do we have to create a high school for 500 kids that could have gone to Hall? I mean, Hall is in a pretty good shape. They've spent some money on it. And, you know, I think the tie-in with Forest Heights is a good idea. And why not kind of have made that a magnet for the west end of town? But instead, they said, no, we're going to, you know, carve off 500 kids that come primarily from that part of town. They're not bringing them from elsewhere. They're primarily coming from West Little Rock. Anyway, as I say, I probably should just shut up about it, because what's done is done. But
yeah, well, it'll be interesting to watch. It is somewhat heartening for the district that though it had some enrollment, some overall enrollment struggles at the elementary levels down significantly, it actually gained students at the high school level this year. So I think there's some hope that some students might come back into the district. Southwest was a big magnet for bringing some kids who lost, you know, to other schools back then. Well, let's move on to endorsements.
Well, I started watching this Your Honor series with, Yeah, Bryan Cranston, and it didn't get great reviews, but I'm kind of liking it. First of all, it's as people may or may not know, it's about Bryan Cranston plays a judge in New Orleans whose son gets in a hit and run accident and accidentally kills the son of a mobster. And I mean, I'm not really revealing anything. That happens very, very. That's how the series begins, and they are trying to cover up for it. The bad things just keep happening, and it's set in New Orleans, which is great. I mean, that's enough for me in a lot of ways. And there's some pretty good character actors in it. And I don't know, a lot of plot development and a lot of things to watch. And there's a little bit of dramatic tension. So it's really met my standard for pandemic entertainment. It's good.
I don't know that this is so much of an endorsement, but sort of a story, I guess. I think that I've mentioned before that this year we let our children who were 6 and 10, or maybe last year, I can't remember, start whittling. They have gotten into it whole hog. They between them probably have a dozen knives, and they have carving books and tomes and spears, and it is a great way to keep them occupied. But they've got obsessive with knives, and so they will look them up on iPad. And I guess that put us into the Axiom database, so we got a knife catalog in mail this week, and that turned out to be another a real entertaining thing for my kids. They spent hours poring over the knife catalog and picking out what they want. My 6-year-old was pointing out a knife that he said was for killing yaks.
Well, do y'all have an Arkansas toothpick yet?
We don't, but I was there was some Bowie knives in there, and I was explaining to him the origins of it. So, yeah, full circle. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Stay safe out there, and we'll be back next week.
Y'all take it easy.